It's always a good job. It's always a joy to come and to preach at BPC. It's we are really excited. My wife Florence and I are really excited to be with you today. You know, we really just excited for all the prayers and the support the church has actually given to us. I do not know how many of you know me, but I know and God have been so good to us. God have answered many of our prayers. And today I serve as the English pastor of the New Covenant Alliance Church. And some of you might be asking, where is it? It's at Birchmount and Ellesmere. Don't ask me whether it's north or east or south. I really do not know, but I know it's in Birchmount and Ellesmere. And I thank God for this wonderful opportunity to come back and to preach God's word. Unfortunately, my two daughters are unable to be here because they are part of the worship team in the church today. I appreciated the prayer of Bruce Nethercourt. It's very powerful when he was praying. I was just thinking of the time that Samuel was just listening to the Lord, and he answered by saying, "Lord, you speak, and I'm here to listen." And we thank God for this great opportunity that God has given us, that we are here to listen to God's word. Before I forget, let me also bring greetings on behalf of New Covenant Alliance Church. And it's an interesting church. We are excited of what God is doing in that part of the city or Scarborough. We thank God once again. Let me read this particular passage, which is taken for today. It's found in Luke chapter 7. It's Palm Sunday, and I thought it would be interesting for us to look at this passage. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 7, verses 1 to 10. Let me read. When Jesus had finished saying all these things to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. There was a centurion servant whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and to heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation, has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to him to say, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. This is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell you this, go and he goes, and that one come and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. Let me read that word again. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel." Then the man who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. Once again, it's a joy to come back. I don't know, many of you might know, you know, the last time I spoke from this particular pulpit was last year, third Sunday in March. And today is third Sunday in March also. It's 1 year, and all of you have grown younger, probably 5 years younger, and maybe I'm getting older. Don't say that. Let's pray and ask God to, you know, be with us. Father, we thank you. What a joy, Lord, that he knows my name. What a powerful reminder, God, that we are not alone in this church. We are not alone in this world. This Creator knows my name. Because your word reminds us, O God, that our names are written on the palms of your hand. And you're a God who knows our thoughts from far, even before we can even utter a word. And so, Lord, even today as we come, we pray, God, that we will have an encounter with you. We want to hear the voice of yours alone. And so, Lord, we pray that you will speak to us. Speak to us, O God. We want to listen to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Are you excited to see me? Oh, I'm not hearing. Probably I'm not hearing well. Are you excited to see me? Oh, that's. Oh, now I'm hearing a bit. That's good. That's good. Then I'll be asking for 20 minutes. Yeah. You know, it is, you know, I think, I don't know how many of you know this. You know, there are 3 billion people who go to bed feeling hungry, without food. 3 billion people go to bed every day without food. And not only that, 4 billion people in this world go to bed without receiving a word of encouragement. A word that acknowledges that they are wonderful, they are good. Can you imagine? 4 billion people are going to bed without hearing the word, thank you. Without hearing the word, you know, you have done a good job. Thank you for what you have done. Being appreciated. Can you imagine? That's the world that we live. The passage that is before us that we just read, it's a passage that speaks about that Jesus was amazed. Can you imagine? Jesus was amazed. During the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, many were amazed by the teachings of Christ. They said, this man speaks with authority. They were amazed at the way that Jesus was dealing with the crowd. People were healed. And today, you know, and the passage tells us that Jesus was amazed. There are two passages in the Bible that speaks about Jesus was amazed. If you turn with me to Mark chapter 6, verse 5 to 6. Jesus was amazed because there was unbelief in the crowd. They saw the great things that Jesus was doing, but even then, people were not having faith. And so Jesus was amazed. What's happening? I think that was the way Jesus responded. But the passage that is before us, it's a passage that speaks, you know, Jesus was amazed. Jesus was saying, you know, I've not seen such great faith in entire Israel. And Jesus was amazed. I was just asking myself when I was working on this particular sermon, when I believe Christ is here today. Do you believe that? The Lord is here with us, right? You know, will the Lord tell you, you know, I'm amazed with your faith? Will the Lord say, no, I'm amazed with the way you pray, you spend your time with me. I'm amazed with the way you come to church. I'm amazed with the way you respond to my word. Will the Lord look at our lives and say, I'm amazed by your faith that you have in me? Or will he be amazed by saying, you know, I've been working in your life for so many years, but you still have the distrust in me. You do not believe me totally. Jesus was amazed by this man. You know, if I give you a background of this man was an ordinary man. He was a centurion. He was a, you know, not only an ordinary guy, but he was a famous guy in his town. He was a Gentile. He was not a Jew. He did not know the Torah pretty well. But Jesus was amazed by this centurion, a Gentile man, an unbeliever in the eyes of the Jews. But Jesus was amazed by this particular man. He was a Roman soldier. Today, my friends, I want to challenge you. I do not know how's your Christian life today, but I, you know, ask yourself each and every day, Lord, are you amazed of my life today? Are you amazed the way, Lord, I walk with you, the way I talk with you? Are you amazed with my life? My friend, I think that is important for us, because if you realize Jesus saw many people in his ministry, but he was amazed. And I think today you and I can be, you know, we can live a life like that, you know, and gain the appreciation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever I preach, someone asked me, you know, how do you feel when you preach? I said, you know, whenever I preach, I know the Lord is sitting in our midst. And so I want to impress him too. I want to make sure the Lord is amazed. So my friend, I think today, you know, God wants to be amazed, and I think it is important for us to amaze God. What amazed Jesus? You know, today I think many a times we tend to see, you know, these things, if I do these things, God is amazed. If I give so much of money, God is amazed. I'm not saying that you cannot give to the church, you cannot be involved in good deeds. They're wonderful. But when you look at the passage very carefully, what amazed Jesus was faith, my friend. Was faith. And there are different kinds of faith. There are demonic faith. Even the demons believe the Lord Jesus Christ. But the faith which I want to talk about from this centurion is about true faith. There are many people who have faith. We are not denying that. But whether is our faith true faith, a faith that admires the Lord Jesus Christ, a faith that amazes the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many Christians who have faith, but whether that is a true faith. Do I have a faith that Jesus will admire? I'm going to look at this particular passage to see what is true faith. And I believe all of us have faith, and the true faith, when you look at the passage very carefully, you know, in verse 3 it says, the centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him. You know, the word heard is heard. It's not just, you know, he heard about Jesus. He was not just hearing, oh, there's a man in the town. The Greek word is a different word altogether. The word heard, it does not mean, you know, he was just listening. He heard, it means he was listening. He was inquiring. He was just listening. You know, I've heard about this man. What is he preaching? What is he talking about? And so there's a lot of desire, a lot of passion to hear what Jesus was teaching. That's the word heard in the word, my friend. And it says, not only he was listening, he was trying to understand. Does it make sense what Jesus is teaching? And that's the kind of the way this man was hearing. Many of us here today, we are hearing wonderful, but do we really hear? Do we listen? Do we try to understand and to see, you know, about Jesus Christ, who this great God is? And not only that, the word he heard also leads to trusting. He was also trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very sad to say, you know, sometimes we do not know what we heard last Sunday. Or last week, what did our pastor preach? We do not know. Much more sad thing is we do not know what we read yesterday. We say, Pastor, you know, I've been faithful in my devotional life, but I can't remember what I read yesterday. But this man was totally different. He heard, in other words, he was listening. He was listening to what Jesus was trying to say in his teaching. He was trying to understand. Look at the word. He was just trying to understand the words of Jesus. And then he was trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine a Gentile, a Roman soldier? He was hearing. He was trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of God says in Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, my friend. Today, how are we hearing today? Are we just hearing because we have heard a message today? Is our faith, hearing, leading us to trust? Do we trust the word of God that we are hearing? And not only that, what was happening, you know, he did not only hear, he also sent. You know, he also sent some elders to Jesus. You know, I was just asking myself, you know, why, you know, he sent some people to Jesus. He could have said, go and talk to him. But he sent, in other words, he was sending with that kind of trust. That if this Jesus comes to my house, my slave, my servant will be healed. And that was the kind of trust. It was not just sending for Jesus to say, come. He was sending with faith. If you look at the Greek word very carefully, you know, he sent with that kind of trust. I know that this man is able to do this in my family, in the life of my servant. And so, he not only heard, he sent. Can you imagine? He's responding, right? Faith is not stable. Faith responds, and he responds. And then he is asking Jesus to come to the house. He's asking, and he's saying, Lord, I trust you. And I know you can. And I want you to come to my house and to pray for my servant who's ill, who needs your touch. Dear friend, that is true faith. That is true faith. Because the Bible, when you look at the Bible very carefully, even demons had believed in Jesus. And the Lord told them to be quiet. But they were not doing, they were not, asking Jesus to come and to help them out. And so true faith is a faith that not only trusts, it senses there is action involved in our faith. There is action involved in our faith. If I just move on, true faith not only starts with trusting, it leads to another thing. True faith leads us to humility. If you turn with me to that same passage in verse 3, what happens? He sends some elders to the Jews. When I was looking at this word, I was telling myself, why did this man send some elders? He could have said, call that man Jesus to come to my house. Because this centurion was a man of authority. Very powerful person. Right? But he sent some elders. When I was looking at the background, I was just trying to study the text and looking at the words very carefully. He respected the culture of the Jews. He could have said, you come, because I need you. But he respected the culture of the Jews, because in the Jews' culture, you don't simply invite the rabbi to come to your house. Your people have to come and to call you. And so he was culturally sensitive. Can you imagine? That is humility, my friend. He was respecting the culture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He sent some of the elders, the Jewish elders, to Jesus and to say, come to my house. He could have demanded, right? But he did not. He sent people who are powerful, elders, and asking him to come and to heal the servant. When I was looking at this passage very carefully, I also realized, I was looking at the Greek word to see what is the meaning of the word ask. It was not demanding. It was not demanding. He was actually requesting, Lord, why don't you come to my house? I need you. Humility is when you realize you are unworthy in the sight of God. And that was happening in this man's life. He sent some people. My friends, I think that is true humility. Humility when you realize that you are unworthy in the sight of God, and you send for someone and say, please, Lord, come. Humility is not weakness. And secondly, he acknowledges his need. He said, Lord, don't trouble yourself. Right? Don't trouble yourself, Lord. But he also realizes that he is unable to meet the need, my friend. Humility means, Lord, I cannot, I need you. Lord, I'm not worthy to come into your presence, Lord, to seek your help. There is nothing worthy in my life. St. Augustine said, the moment this centurion realized his unworthiness, he became worthy in the sight of God, my friend. When the moment we realize that we are unworthy, that we need Jesus, we need his help in our life, we become worthy. We become worthy. And that is humility. Many a times when we pray to God, we tell God, Lord, this is what I did. I've been in this church for so many years, Lord. I've been giving my tithes regularly. Why are you not answering my prayers, my needs? Sometimes we tend to argue with God by saying how worthy we are by the position that we have in the church. But this man, he did not speak about his position at all. He did not speak about his name at all. He realized his unworthiness. And he realizes that he is not able to meet the needs of this servant. And so he sends for the Lord Jesus Christ. True faith starts by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend. It's not just hearing alone. It is trust. It's trusting what Jesus has to say. And true faith professes humility. There is real humility in this man. He doesn't use his name, his power, his position, nothing of that sort. He realizes his need. Let me move on. You know, the thirdly, if you look at the passage, it also says, true faith also produces good works. Good works. Right? What happened? There was a centurion servant whom his master valued highly. You know, can you imagine a centurion? He had so many people who were working under him. Right? He was had so many people working under him, and one guy is sick. He could have done this. He could have told him, you know, fine, thank you for all your services. Give him a good handshake and ask him to leave. He could have done that. Can you imagine? A servant is ill. He could have said, you know, thank you, boy, for all the work that you have done. Appreciate. And, you know, I want to give you a check. I want to give you some kind of gift. Bless him and send him back. But he did not. Right? But because he valued him highly. You know, when I was looking at the word very carefully, I realized this man was not just giving. You know, many times we are so happy today, you know, when we give something to the Lord, when we throw some, you know, some dollars into our offering bag, we are so happy, we realize, hey, that's wonderful, that's an awesome work. Today we measure our good works by what we give. But the way you look at this man, you know, good works starts when you start, to value another person. The slave was an ordinary person. Probably in those culture, he had no value at all. But to the centurion, human life is valuable. Valuable in the sight of God, my friend. Today, we are involved in good works. Praise God for them. Why do we do that? Do we value the person, the human being, or we just give because we are called to give? To be really valued. He valued others, and that other man was not a Gentile at all. And not only that, if you look at the passage very carefully, you know, it says he loves our nation and has built our synagogue. Right? Can you imagine? He loves our nation. And I was looking at the word, and this elders came to Jesus and said, this man deserves, or in other words, worthy. I was looking at the Greek text very carefully. There was no other passages in the Greek, in the Bible that you will see worthy. This is the first time the word worthy has appeared. And the elders were coming to Jesus and were saying, you know, this man is worthy. He's worthy. And he has done. He loves our nation. He was loving the Jewish nation, a Gentile, a Roman. People were considered cruel in those days. He was loving another nation. And on top of that, he was building a synagogue for them. Why? It's all because of the first one. He started trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. The more I trust, the more I become humble, my friend. The more I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the more I realize that I need a Savior. I need a God to help me. I'm limited. And the more I feel inadequate in the sight of God, what happens? I think I start, you know, valuing others. And that get me involved in good deeds. And so he was building the nation. He loves the people. He loved people who were different from him, my friend. Why do we give today? Is it because we have been called to give? Or do we give because, you know, human life is valuable? Do we value? You know, many a times, you know, it's very sad. We live in a world, you know, we tend to, you know, support people who look like us. But this man was different, right? It was, he saw human beings equal in the sight of God. The song that we just sang is a powerful reminder, right? He knows my name, my friend. The Lord knows my name. And we praise God for that. So our good deeds, I think, should go beyond the way this man has done. And let me, you know, let me also, not only that, you know, true faith not only produces good works, true faith also submits to God's authority and His word, right? It submits to the authority of Jesus. You know, when you look at the passage very carefully, the first time, what was happening? He sent the elders. The second round, He sent His friends, right? He sent the elders and said, "Lord, come to my house." But now He sends His friends and, you know, people who are very close to Him, people whom He really trusted. And He's sending them and saying, "Lord, don't come to my house." Why? It's not that I don't want you to be in my house. Lord, I believe in your authority, the authority of Christ, my friend. And I was just looking at the passages very carefully, the verses very carefully. Two things comes very clear. You know, he believes in the authority of Christ and the authority of Christ's word. You know, if you believe in this word, right, the true belief will lead us, you know, to believing Christ. In other words, when you start really believing Christ, then you start believing on His word. This man said, you know, this man believed on the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "Lord, you say the word. Just say the word." If you read the passages very carefully, the Pharisees were questioning the authority of Christ's words, the authority of His teaching. But this man trusted the authority of God's word. Today, my friend, let me ask you, do you believe in this Bible? If you go to every church has a statement which says this word is truly inspired. But when I was in the U.S., I remember, you know, studying with a lot of friends of mine. It was very unfortunate to see that many of my friends, they do not truly, totally believe the scriptures cover to cover. And some of them are pastors. Some of my professors, who are Christian professors, they will not totally believe in the entire word of God. It's just bits and pieces. Today, my friend, are we like them? Do we say, "Yes, I believe this is the inspired word of God. I trust Christ and I trust the authority of God's word." It is not pick and choose kind of a word that we live in. We deal with this word today. How do you see God's word in your life when the Lord speaks to you? When you read your word every day, do you just ignore it? Or do we say, "This is not meant for me"? But if you trust in the authority of God's word, it is meant for us. Because if you read Timothy 3:16, it says, "All scripture is inspired by God. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God will be fully equipped in it." True faith submits to God's authority and to the authority of God's word. I'm going to finish. And the last thing, you know, interestingly, when you look at the scriptures very carefully, true faith, you know, results in something. If you turn to the next thing, you know, true faith rewards. If you have true faith, rewards. Now, sometimes you might say, how does it reward? Is it always a yes answer kind of a reward? But if you look at the passage, what happens? You know, true faith pleases God. Jesus was amazed. Jesus was amazed. If you have true faith, my friend, it pleases God. And God is pleased by our faith, not by our deeds. Deeds are wonderful. But if our deeds doesn't come along with faith, then I believe it will not please God at all. And that's why when you read James' letter, you know, James speaks about faith and works, faith and works, faith and works. If you have faith, show me your works. Right? That's the way James is writing. And so, true faith really rewards. It pleases God. Not your deeds. Not what we are in terms of our, you know, our position. It's wonderful, right? But faith pleases God, and not only it pleases God, you know, it glorifies God also. It glorifies God, you know. And Jesus said, "I've not seen such a great faith in the entire Israel. Can you imagine? It glorifies God. It pleases God. And so you want to please God today? Show Him your faith. Not our deeds. If our deeds comes along with faith, then it glorifies God. So how's our faith today, my friend? If will Jesus, you know, and I, you know, I believe, you know, He's with us. You know, is Christ amazed with our faith today? Or will He be amazed by our disbelief? Jesus was amazed. Let me finish with this. You know, I was reading about this great missionary by the name of John Patton. You know, he was a missionary, and he was working with a group of people. Very interestingly, you know, this native people, he was working with them. He was trying to translate the Gospel of John to the native people. And so when he was translating, he came to a particular word that he had difficulty to translate. And the word was, you know, the word trust or belief. And the native people did not have the word belief or trust in their vocab at all. And so Patton had a difficulty. So he did not know what to do, because he needs to write the word believe or trust in the gospel according to John. And so what he did, because this native people did not trust anyone. They don't believe one another. Right? And that was the culture of that particular native people. So what John Patton did, he took a chair. I'll make this disappear for a while. I'm just joking. He took a chair, and then he said, "What am I doing?" So they told him a word. And then he said, you know, then he lifted his leg up. Can I trust this chair? Yeah. And then he lifted his hand up also. And he asked them, "What am I doing?" And then they said, "Oh, your weight is on the chair. Your weight is on the chair." And so, and that's the way he translated the word belief. One's weight on the chair. One's weight on the chair. And that is the word trust for them. Today, can you and I say that my faith is on the Lord Jesus Christ, or are we still putting our leg down because we are afraid? Or are we still holding on to something because we are afraid? We don't trust this, right? We are afraid this chair might give away. What is our faith today, my friend? Can we put our whole body weight totally on the chair and say, "I trust this Jesus. I don't want this to support me. I don't want even my legs to support me. I want Jesus just to carry me." That is faith. How's your faith today? Will your faith amaze the Lord Jesus Christ? I know many of us have been Christians for so long of a period. Will your faith amaze Christ? Or will he be amazed with our disbelief? Is our weight totally on the chair? Or are we sitting on the chair but holding on to something else? Or putting our legs down because we don't trust the chair? How's your faith today? Let's pray. Today is Palm Sunday. And I believe in many churches they will be focusing on Palm Sunday. You know, when I was looking at this particular passage, I was just telling myself, when Jesus was walking the streets of going the streets of Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, there were people shouting to him, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." I believe when the Lord saw them, he knew very well whether they were sincere in their words. Whether it was a true Hosanna. Whether they were just joining the crowd by saying Hosanna, but there was no faith in them. Because the Bible says, the Lord knows our heart, my friend. Today we are shouting, we are saying, Hosanna to the Lord. But the Lord knows whether it's a true Hosanna, whether it's a true faith. When Jesus goes in the streets of Jerusalem, will he be amazed? I don't believe he was amazed by the sound of the people, by the procession. I believe the Lord will be amazed with people exercising true faith. How's our faith today? Is it totally on the Lord Jesus Christ? Or is it holding on to something else? Only faith amazes Jesus. Nothing else, my friend. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time that you've given to us. We thank you, Lord, on Palm Sunday, Lord, as we read from passages from the scriptures of God, we realize that you went on a procession of God. And you saw people shouting to the top of their voice, Hosanna! But we know, Lord, that you knew their hearts very well. Father, we want to amaze you through our lives. Help us, Lord, to have true faith. Help us, Lord, to have trust in our life. Not just hearing your word. Not just listening to your word, but understanding, placing our trust in you. Help us, Lord, to have humility. Help us, Lord, to do good works. Not because someone is doing, because we value lives of others who might look different than us. And we know, Lord, true faith believes in the authority of your word. We thank you once again for this time. I pray for the church of God. We thank you for the pastor, Pastor Allen, as he is in ministering of God. We pray that you will surround him with your love. And Father, when he comes back, oh God, we want to hear great and wonderful things that God is doing in that part of the world. And I want to pray for this congregation who have been so loving and very supportive of God. And Father, I pray that even you will bless them. Let them see your wonderful deeds of God, not only in their personal life, but also in the life of the church. We thank you and we praise you, God, for who you are, the things that you're doing in our lives. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. And God's people said, Amen.